Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we don't really spoil anything, but we do discuss in various degrees of detail I Am Legend, The Ring, Cabin in the Woods, Chronicle, The Descent, The Babadook, It Follows, A Quiet Place, Get Out, Ender's Game, Battlestar Galactica, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, The Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Ocean's 11, Friends at the Table, and The Adventure Zone. So, be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, the original title for the movie Scream was actually, turns out, Scary Movie. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
And I'm Alex Wade.
It's not even a bit anymore. I go into it and I don't think of what thing I'm going to say when it comes back to me. We never do. How are you doing, Alex Wade?
I am doing scrumptious.
Scrumptious? Ooh. Are there a lot of scones and baked goods in your life?
I'm a croissant kind of person. I actually did have a croissant, I think, 2 days ago. It's delicious.
I think I did as well. Got a few from the grocery store, and they were good. But that's not what this podcast is about. It's not a baked goods podcast. It's a podcast about – well, it could be. I mean, hey, who knows? We are always looking to experiment with the form and the format of things, and we're going to now start doing baked goods.
Baked goods is what we call it.
Baked goods.
And we get high, and we make, like, baked goods. Huh?
Great British Baked Off, where we get high and do a live commentary of the Great British Bake Off.
Yes. no, a podcast idea.
But as entertaining as those ideas are, and we will table them and return to them in the future, expect to see them coming across your podcast player of choice in the future.
Real soon.
What we are talking about today, we are trying something a little bit different, which I think could be fun. And if it's not, whatever, we tried. But I guess the question, in so much as it is what story would you tell in a genre you don't normally love? And so we're sort of taking it a little bit different, where normally, you know, we sit down and we bullshit about sci-fi, about fantasy, about technology, geek culture stuff. This time we're seeing what it's like to be the person that actually like makes the thing rather than just comments on it.
We're creators now.
Indeed. Yes, this is a little bit of an experiment for us. We're trying something a little bit different. Wade, you kind of came up with the premise of like what the exercise we wanted to do. Do you want to talk a little bit more about like what we actually did this week and if there was anything that like led to this idea of pitching a story?
Yeah, so the stories that we're kind of pitching are genres that we're not familiar with. So we kind of were talking about, oh, what do we want to pitch? Whether it's in like, oh, Batman or Superman or some other thing that's not a superhero movie. But instead, we decided to do it more for genres so that we could tailor it to each of us specifically. And with that in mind, we kind of chose the opposite of things that we're normally really interested in. So like, for example, I chose to do a horror movie.
Yeah, and I chose to do like a fantasy story, particularly sort of a like sword and sorcery, epic fantasy, Lord of the Ringsy type thing.
In addition to this, like I enjoy fantasy a lot, definitely a lot more than Whipple does at least, and Whipple loves horror insanely.
I love it. I feel like maybe that's also part of where this came from, because I think you came up with the idea of like, I'd kind of want to try doing a horror story before I came up with thinking about like, oh, I could do a fantasy thing. And I think part of that was, if you've listened to this podcast, you've probably heard us say it many times, go through this round of conversation many times of like, I really like horror movies. I think more people should watch horror movies. I also understand that they're really scary and people don't like being scared. So it's not actually something everyone's going to love. I don't understand why, because horror movies are the best.
I felt like this was, you know, just like kind of a fun way for me to explore what horror is. And even though I have no experience with it, well, especially because I have no experience with it, that means I'm going to have a completely different take on how these things go about. Maybe it'll turn out to be, you know, being super novice and ugly, but we'll find out here.
Yeah, whatever. It's an experiment. We'll try it out. And it's
it's a little different than our usual, hey, let's talk about something big and important and then come to a wishy-washy middle of the road answer of like, I don't know, things are complicated.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really interested. Maybe we can dive in a little bit more on your experience with horror so far. So is there anything about horror other than the pure fact of like, you don't love watching things that scare you, that has sort of pushed you away from that genre in the past?
That's 100% it.
Fair.
So I haven't been able to really have dreams for many years now. But when I could dream, I was like 13 and I saw 13, 10. I was younger, but still too old to be this scared of the movie. If I saw I Am Legend, which is a thriller movie. And for some reason that just hit me really bad. And I had nightmares for like 6 or 7 weeks after that.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm not ever going to see this kind of thing again. And I always had like, even tangentially of like the Ring, for example, I never saw the Ring, but I would always leave my, my shower curtain closed or open so that I could see the shower, because I remember some scene of the Ring girl being behind the shower curtain for some reason.
Wow. Okay.
And then I realized, oh, that causes mold on the shower curtain, so I can't do that anymore.
dang fungus, dang fungi. That wrecking your chances at safety to not be killed by the Ring girl.
Yeah, but I guess creating horror is kind of completely different, because it's like, it's only my own imagination, and I can't be, I mean, I can be scared of that, but you know, that's different, obviously.
But yeah, that's an interesting point that you have there about like creating horror being a different kind of fear than watching it. And 1000% totally not discounting your experience, because everyone's thing is different. I have found that for a lot of my creative writing classes in college, that's what I would gravitate towards, was writing horror stories. And I was usually the only one in the class that wrote the horror stories, because whatever, I'm that kid. And that was usually the moment when I cracked the story and made it work, was the moment when I got as scared reading the thing I was writing, or like thinking the thing as I was writing it, as I would if I was watching or reading a horror story.
Wow.
And it would be those moments of like, oh my God, this thing that I thought of and put down on paper sounds super douchey, but like, it really scared me. and then usually that's when the story would start to get good. Again, not discounting your thing, but that's very interesting that they felt like two very different things to you.
Yeah. It also could be that like, I'm not as scared as I was when I was 13.
Fair.
And maybe I should go out to see a horror movie sometime and, you know, see what the adrenaline feels like. That feels good now.
Hell yeah. Other than I Am Legend and like a trailer for The Ring, what sort of horror and thriller stuff have you watched?
So I've seen one of the scary movies.
Okay.
Cabin in the Woods, which I know doesn't count, but I'm just kind of saying things that are...
Cabin in the Woods 100% counts. Cabin in the Woods is absolutely a horror movie. Okay. It's a like postmodern horror movie that like plays on horror tropes and is also very much a comedy, but like, yeah, totally a horror comedy. I count it.
Interesting. I was thinking more like a, not quite a satire, but an homage.
I'm also relatively big tent when it comes to horror, of like anything that is purposely trying to scare you, and especially if it uses horror tropes in particular ways, I count it as a horror movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So why don't we get into your story now that you've spent a week thinking about horror?
Yeah. So I started and stopped writing my stories a lot, and like dived back and forth from, literally I did one I have in my notes, maybe straight Jumanji ripoff, where they discover a game and then get put into the game, but like fantasy style. So like D&D fantasy story, except it's horror somehow. But then I scrapped that one because I didn't like it. And I came down to two ones that I really liked.
All right, let's do one, and then we'll go together.
I'm gonna give my my elevator pitch for this one. So it's a group of friends. They find a item of some kind, I don't really know what, that infects them somehow painfully, so much so that they all pass out, and they find themselves in like a dark cave underground somewhere. Don't really know how they got there. In addition to this, they kind of develop, I don't know what movie it was, but there was a like telekinesis abilities of these kids who they got.
Chronicle.
Maybe I haven't seen it. Okay. I only saw a commercial for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't either. So, but yeah, it is like a found footage movie. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. So they basically gain super minor telekinesis that gets progressively stronger. But also every time they use it, they start to get like dizzy or hurt or lose control of themselves. Them being kids, this obviously leads to like, oh, there's one kid who's kind of, you know, a douchebag who is always egging everyone on or something, who at some point during the movie gets taken over and like he loses in his mind somehow. Also there are these dark monsters that are like covered in shadows that are humanoid and start to like attack them that they're always running away from. And this kind of keeps happening throughout the movie of like these shadow humanoid things start to attack them. And then eventually it probably comes down to like one kid or something. And he is just like completely given over to his telekinesis powers and kind of destroys everything. And then kind of the end of the movie is like a reveal of like, somehow you see this dark shadow beast and you see like a destroyed like town or something. And you find out it's like, oh, like this, whatever infected them, that was, they turned into these shadow beasts instead. And they were the ones who were going on a rampage, and they weren't actually in these caves. They were going throughout the town, but they were kind of hallucinating and like not really in the right state of mind and, destroying the town.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me a ton of a movie that I only finally just saw after Nat, of all people, literally telling me to watch it since we were in high school, The Descent.
Okay.
Which is I think indie British horror movie from like 2007, which Nat says is the scariest movie he's ever seen. I think it's totally up there. It's this group of women that go on a cave diving expedition into a cave that like is not on any known maps, and they get trapped in there and have to like make their way out, all the while being hunted by these weird humanoid-ish cave dwelling monsters. I think I really dig that mix of like the claustrophobia, the mysterious monsters they have with The Descent. And the other cool thing about The Descent is that so much of it is about like the relationships between this group of friends that starts to fray as everyone gets pushed to the edge. Yeah. And then I like adding in that, oh, everyone has these sort of superpowers and doesn't know how to control them, especially if they're teenagers. And I think
it's an awkward that could be maybe that ends in death.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. I will, in the spirit of constructive criticism, which may not be helpful or necessary, sure. I think the turn of, oh, it turns out they were hallucinating and attacking the town might be one turn too many. Okay. Part of that also being that, like, I think it would be good enough just as the, they have superpowers and they're in the cave and they're fighting these monsters. And maybe that like these monsters they're fighting are what happens when you turn and like succumb to the telekinesis powers.
Yeah.
The extra turn may not necessarily be necessary. That being said, it also could be cool.
Yeah. So I think the reason why I added that or had that was kind of as the justification of like, oh, how'd they get into these caves? Like, why were they teleported away or whatever the hell happened? Like,
yeah.
But I'm sure I could find an easier explanation for that somehow.
Yeah. And I like the impulse of the like, oh, they were the monsters all along is a fun turn.
Yeah. I had written some of it that was like sometimes the monsters are like running away. Sometimes there are these like basically people shooting at them, but you know, in whatever dark monster effect that would be.
Okay.
But yeah. One of the reasons why I felt like I wanted to write this in this way, I always feel like first off, kids are great excuses for bad personality traits. I feel like that's something really easy something that I thought would be really easy in a horror movie to manipulate of like, oh, no rational person would do that. It's like, well, they're fucking kids. They ain't rational. For one thing, that also I think really plays in nicely with like losing their mind. Kids losing their mind, in my opinion, is a cooler thing to see. Just because kids are great to torture. No.
And hey, you've got that great classic superpowers and telekinesis as puberty metaphor.
Yeah, that one's great.
That all the good stuff, all the good carries of the world have.
Yeah, but they all die from it. So
yeah, fair point.
Not the best message to send.
Fair point.
But you know, whatever. But also, I guess the supernatural superpower part of it. That I definitely think is kind of my own personal, like, I really love magic and superpowers like that, that I think can be used in a really awesome way. Like, today's day and age, we have superhero movies out the fucking wazoo, but
yeah,
that's what they're about. They're about discovering how to become a hero or et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Yeah,
but instead, I just kind of want that to be one facet of the movie. Like, I don't want that to be the sole reason, driving force kind of the movie, right? Like,
yeah,
I think one thing that I really love, I guess, to go back to, you know, the favorite thing in the world, science fiction. I think I've said this out on the podcast before, actually, of like, it can be used to explore human emotions in like great what if scenarios. In the same way, I think fantasy and superpowers and magic, like this kinetic ability, telekinesis, can be used to be like, what if you are really, really powerful? How does that affect, like, oh, you couldn't save your friend even though you had the ability to? You couldn't, you know, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that actually makes it a really good blend with horror, because that's a huge thing of what I love about horror is, one, a lot of great horror movies act as metaphors of ways to like literalize some sort of thing that's hard to deal with in the real world, whether it's like The Babadook is an Australian horror movie that came out a couple of years ago that like the monster is pretty commonly read as like a literalized metaphor for depression and repressed grief. Or It Follows is like, it's a metaphor for sexual politics and STDs and things like that. It's one of the best horror movies. It Follows is a movie about this girl who has sex with a guy. Then the guy reveals to her, hey, there's this monster thing that chases you. It just like walks slowly. It doesn't, you know, run at you, but it will just keep walking slowly towards you forever and can look like anything or any person. And then once it gets to you, it'll kill you. And the only way for it to not keep chasing you is that you have to have sex with someone else to pass it on.
Oh my God.
Then the whole movie is about her dealing with like, oh shit, this monster thing is chasing me. What should I do? And it's really, really great. I super highly recommend it. If you like really scary movies.
Nope.
But anyway, getting back to the broader point, that one, horror lets you do where, yeah, sort of sci-fi, in the same way that sci-fi can do that of you can create a setting that literalizes something that isn't literal in the real world,
yeah,
as a thing that you can fight against or a thing that you can wrestle with. And the other great thing about horror is that it's always such an extreme circumstance that like you really find out who your characters are because you're pushing them to the most, literally to the point of death.
Yeah.
Oftentimes. And so you get to, whatever things that you're trying to explore, whatever character traits, whatever facets of humanity will necessarily be the most extreme versions of that, because you're being hunted by a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Cool. Do you want to talk about your other, other crystallized story?
Yeah, so my other idea that I fleshed out was, so there's a husband and a wife, and they... Mm-hmm. Maybe have a kid, whatever. They have a stagnant marriage. It's kind of become boring. The husband's probably maybe not abusive, but is definitely like dismissive of his wife, and she's a homemaker, and he doesn't really care too much about her, and it's a dead marriage. Whatever, there's some outburst from the wife talking about this, being like, oh, we've lost our spark, you don't care about me anymore, da 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 da. She's like an underfoot character, right? Then to make up for it, husband goes to a pawn shop, and he finds this gorgeous piece of jewelry there. And he can't really afford it, so he steals it, probably. I just kind of added that in there because it's like, ooh, you know, the
okay.
Oh, you will be punished for doing something, right?
Yeah.
I know some tropes of horror.
For sure.
Brings it back to his wife, and, you know, with a surprise night out on the town, gives it to her, and then she starts wearing whatever this piece of jewelry is, and she kind of becomes a lot more I don't want to say adventurous, but a lot more bold.
Okay.
And this first night, also, I want to kind of make this is more of like a, not a romance film, but like a, I don't want to say a sex film. That's not the phrase for it. Very lustful film, I guess, of like,
yeah. Yeah.
Part of the metaphor of like her taking control is sex is part of it. Right.
Sure.
They start doing, you know, illicit things in the restaurant, da, 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 da. And then as time goes on, she's still like this very bold person and is constantly wearing whatever this jewelry is. And he becomes kind of more underfoot, and he starts getting pushed back down, kind of like he's just a lot more tired all the time. And like he has trouble saying no to his wife and is becoming noticeably weaker, and like his hair is turning gray. And the movie probably culminates in like they go to some long trip. It's like, oh, I really need a break from my life. So like the third act is like they go to some foreign land where kind of the complete breakdown of his body can really start to take effect without him being like, oh, I have to go to a hospital, you know?
Yeah.
And then kind of during this part of the movie, maybe there's like she starts like cuckolding him and basically openly cheating and da 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 da, and he becomes so like ill, and eventually he is like maybe absorbed or something into this jewelry, like physically at the end of it. I definitely feel like, you know, the movie needs to like start and end with kind of like a similar shot of some power dynamic between the two of them, except it gets the roles get reversed at the end of it, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of halfway through writing this, I was like, I'm not really sure if it really is like a horror movie per se.
Well, what I was going to say is that it super, super sounds like not to say that it sounds like a specific Stephen King story, but it sounds like the kind of story Stephen King would write. You know, it's all about like domestic interplay. It's like you said, of a particular trope in Stephen King stuff is that almost always it's not so much that bad stuff happens to people. It's that people do bad things, and those bad things are amplified and punished many times over, or lead to tragedy. And so, yeah, it's stealing the jewelry. It's him being a shitty person at the beginning, that leads to this, sort of inevitable, fateful thing. And then, yeah, like it totally seems like the kind of thing that would be in a lot of Stephen King stuff is in small towns. It's in like intimate relationships and relatively normal people. I think if you're concerned about it, a ways to make it into an actual horror thing, I can totally, totally see it being that sort of psychological, supernatural thriller, scary thing that is very much like Stephen King bread and butter.
Awesome. Cool. That's good to hear. I guess I'm, you know, gonna be a amazing horror writer when I grow up.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, I think the interesting thing, if someone were to actually make this, is obviously how to play with those gender and sexual politics in a way that is responsible but also not toothless. Because that's one of the benefit of like horror stuff is that you can go there, for lack of a better word, and explore the things that are like harsh and unpleasant to explore, because that's the name of the game in the genre. But that being said, like there's a difference between a trashy 70s movie that like uncritically is just like, oh, now, you know, there could be the bad 70s versions of it where it's like, oh yeah, now the girl's the powerful one and look how bad everything got because of it.
Oh boy.
Like, or there could be the one that's like, oh, it's an actually interesting nuanced portrayal of how these power dynamics work and how these power dynamics are hurtful for both sides.
That's also something that I wanted to like, I kind of wanted to like deceive the viewer of like thinking, I kind of, so at the end of the movie, like when she's like, you know, in control, I don't want it to be like a happy story of like she's getting what she wants.
Sure.
I kind of want that to be what the viewer thinks it's going to be. Like at the beginning of the movie, they're like, oh, she's becoming stronger and like more independent. Go girl, you know. But then by the end of it, I kind of wanted it to be like he's still getting his just desserts, but she is turning into like a literal demon of some kind and is like lost her humanity through no fault of her own. But also the problem with doing that is it's also like she kind of just becomes a, I don't know, a pawn in this whole, throughout this whole time.
Yeah, I feel that.
Maybe she's like making a bargain with a demon or something. There's a third main character who is like, she is, I don't know. I feel like I'm making her too, I don't want the end of it to be a happy ending, you know?
Sure.
And
sure.
The only way that I can think of doing that is by making the person who got the happy ending to not have it anymore. But then that kind of makes her what she was all along, of like underfoot and trodden over, except this time by the movie and the plot instead of, so I guess by me as the writer instead of the husband.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't like being people happy. Come on.
Yeah, of course not. You're writing a horror thing.
Yeah.
That would definitely be the thing that would need the most thought. And I think the overall like structure and direction of everything. And I really like that idea of like, it's centered on this item that literalizes the, maybe that's where the interesting thing comes into, is like, how does this item and whatever curse is associated with it literalize the damaging nature of toxic relationships?
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe that's the thing, is that like it would require a lot of research and thoughtful thinking. That's a great phrase about like, what do toxic relationships do to people? How do toxic relationships function? My guess is that like knowing more about how that works in the real world will open up a cool, like, oh, here's this thing that happens in the real world. Here's the way that it can translate into the structure of the curse.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad you liked it.
I dig it. I really like both of those. I think I'm more interested in the eventual really cool future version of the second one, of the cursed jewelry, particularly because it just screams so Stephen King-y to me. And I really like Stephen King. That being said, I think as it stands right now, the first one would be a more like, yeah, green light, and I can see exactly how it works with just what is laid out right there. But that being said, all the cool challenges of the second one are cool for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be hard. That would not be, you know.
So what did you learn about horror in writing? What did you learn? Tell the class what you learned.
Well, kids, first off, I learned it's really hard to write, because I feel like a lot of my, I started and stopped so many times because I feel like a lot of horror comes from the actual moments and the viscerality of actually seeing it and feeling it there.
Yeah.
So that writing it down on paper, I don't know, like I told you the stories of what I wanted to tell, but that's missing out on a huge chunk of what makes, what I think at least makes horror movies, you know, horror, like The Quiet Place, for example. I'm sure reading the script of The Quiet Place is not that exciting, you know? There's an element of that script that you cannot get that is huge to the entire movie. I haven't seen the movie, but I know it's, you know, silent.
It's good.
For most of it. So that was something hard.
And even then there's the difference between the pitch of A Quiet Place of like, hey, it's this family that's in a world where there's monsters that will hunt you if you make noise, is very different from what in the script of seeing, oh, these are the scenes that are actually going to happen in the actual moments, which itself is different from actually experiencing the movie. So yeah, I totally feel that. Do you think you would want to, well, caveat that you said that you don't like writing things, but do you think you'd want to write more horror stuff or consume more horror stuff in the future?
I maybe not consume yet. I don't know. I think I'd try some things. I still need to see Get Out.
Get Out? Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I know I need to see that. That's high on the list, but that's like kind of a horror movie, and I've told it's not scary, and I need to see it.
Yeah. Again, big tent of horror. I 1,000% count it as a horror movie. But I agree. It's not like as scary as other horror movies because that's not the point. Like that being said, it is definitely scary and uses horror tropes in interesting ways. But
yeah,
the grand scheme of things.
That'll be a big step for me, though. That'll be like,
yeah, okay. No, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's also just really good.
I also have been wanting to try writing things lately.
Hell yeah.
I don't really know if these would be the things to write. I think the second one, the husband wife one, I would not write that one yet. I would save that for a bit. But I definitely think this other one, that'd be really fun to write. Maybe I'll try writing a short story about that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Your turn.
My turn. Okay. Yeah. So I'll admit I had a little bit of a challenge on, or a lot of, maybe not a challenge isn't the right word. I had a lot of second guessing in terms of what genre should I pick, because there wasn't as clear cut of a, like, this is a genre I just say no to and avoid entirely.
Yeah.
And in particular, as I was like trying to think through genres, almost everything I came to, there was an example within that genre of something I actually did really like. So like I thought for a second of like, I don't like military sci-fi very much. I'm not super into any of that. Robert Heinlein, Starship Troopers, blah, blah, blah. But then I realized, oh, I love Ender's Game. It's like Ender's Game is one of my favorite books of all time, which sort of is a military sci-fi thing. And same thing for basically every genre.
Like, but Battlestar Galactica, right?
Kind of. I fell off of it like in season 3, I think. It's good. It's not something that I like actively disliked, but I just kind of got bored. Same thing with Breaking Bad, same thing with Mad Men. I'm just like,
what?
Whatever.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yep. Mad Men was the only one that like I actively like watched like 3 episodes and was like, fuck this, I don't care. Breaking Bad and Battlestar were the two that like I gave it a good college try, got to I think season 3 of both of them, and then just like never watched past that.
Okay, I can stylistically and like opinion wise I can forgive Mad Men if that's not your thing. That's forgivable, because that's very specific. Battlestar Galactica, I expected better from you. And Breaking Bad, you have no leg to stand on.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. I just got bored and I stopped watching it. And I watched other things that I wasn't bored by.
It's bullshit.
So I did sort of settle on fantasy as like, if we're looking at the big genres, if I was going to walk into a bookstore, the fantasy shelf would be one of the ones I go to last, after the sci-fi, after the horror, after other things. And in particular, I decided to focus on sort of your classic epic fantasy, sword and sorcery, Lord of the Ringsy stuff. Again, not that I dislike it per se, and that not that there aren't great examples within that sort of classic Tolkien-esque fantasy, one of which being Lord of the Rings, which I really liked when I read them, though not as much as everyone else did. I think I'm not someone that like rewatches the Lord of the Rings movies regularly. I'm not someone who watches the extended editions. I'm not someone who like has reread the books. That being said, I like Christmas.
It's our Christmas movie. We put on Fellowship of the Ring extended edition.
Oh, there you go. That's fun. But yeah, so that's what I picked. Diving in headlong into that genre.
Yeah. I have a quick question about fantasy. Why do you hate magic?
Well, I hate magic because I'm cold and dead inside. So that's actually a really good point, because like that is one of the things that I did in sort of this experience was like, okay, if I'm going to do a fantasy story, let's see what are the things I don't love about fantasy and see what would be the way to play with that in trying to come up with a story. One of the things that I did put on my literal whiteboard, which is fun, is I'm interested in magic, but I'm always way more interested in magic when it is treated as like a mysterious, dangerous, unknowable thing than I am when it's treated as something that's more whimsical or something that's more like a thing that is studied in books and is sort of dry, for lack of a better word. Or something that is like a part of nature, but a part of nature in like a Radagast the Brown kind of way. I'm always more interested in it as like a dangerous, scary, uncontrollable thing. I think a lot of the good fantasy does reckon with that to a degree, and or at least lets it sort of be mysterious and interesting and weird. But I think a lot of the, like with a lot of genres, there's good versions of it and there's bad versions of it, and the bad versions of it are bad for a lot of reasons. But yeah, that's sort of the generic fantasy thing that sort of pushes me away is when magic is treated as like, yes, it's just a thing that is part of our world, and we have wizards that follow these wizard codes and they do this thing and blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, it can be interesting if you complicate it, but by and large, that doesn't click for me in the same way.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of my general approach to like why I tend to shy away from it is that the generic versions of things that are tropes in fantasy are just less interesting to me. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little less interested in chosen one narratives. I'm a little less interested in the like, here's this person that is destined for greatness and they go off and they go on adventure because they're awesome. Which again, some of the more interesting versions of that are like Lord of the Rings, where it's more complicated because it's, you know, Frodo, it's not that he's this chosen one. It's that like, he happens to have this and like, he decides that, okay, I'm going to try and save the world now because someone has to do it. Or Harry Potter of, yes, he's the chosen one, but it's more of a curse than it is a blessing. Yeah. A lot of the time. Yeah. Stuff like that, those sort of, in the bad versions, they push me away. In the good versions, they draw me in because they do interesting things with them and make them more into like cool, full-fledged stories rather than just being like, here's a bunch of genre trappings, go out and have an adventure, teenage boys, or that want to read about teenage boys using magic.
Yeah, but that,
and swords.
That applied to, I mean, the Chosen One trope applies to a lot of different genres, like Ender's Game.
True.
To yeah. Go back to...
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point because like a lot of the things that I dislike about fantasy are just things that I dislike about like how stories are written in Western culture, especially in like a patriarchal world where, you know, this is just what we've had to deal with for literature forever. But in things like science fiction or in things like horror or in things like historical fiction, there's other stuff that also draws me in. So like maybe that's a good way of putting it is that I would rather read a bad horror story or a bad sci-fi story than a bad fantasy story because the stuff in at least a bad sci-fi story will probably have spaceships and lasers and robots. And a bad horror story will have scary things, which I like those. They are necessarily in fantasy. But yeah, so those are some of my like overall, that's sort of my overall feeling about fantasy is that it's not that it's a bad genre. It's that the things within fantasy that are relatively common don't intrigue me as much as some of the tropes and trappings of other genres. Sure. And yeah, it'll be the last thing I go to if I'm wandering a bookshelf or it'll be the last shelf that I go to if I'm wandering a bookstore is the fantasy shelf.
Yeah. I think that's a second bookshelf for me after sci-fi.
All right, so now my story. So yeah, like I said, I wanted to do a full-on epic fantasy-ish because I wasn't able to just like do a straight-up Lord of the Ringsy thing, but whatever. So for my story, it's got three different protagonists. And I'm thinking for this to be like a book. Maybe it could work as like a TV series or something like that, but book was sort of the thing that seems to make the most sense for this, rather than a single movie. But who knows where it starts, but very early on in the beginning, there is, this like bar, people are tavern, whatever, in this town, in this, you know, relatively Arthurian kind of, you know, fantasy kingdom thing. You know, kind of like Gondor, I guess, in Lord of the Rings would be the relative equivalent. in this tavern, along with a whole bunch of other people, there's a witch, there's a blacksmith's daughter, and also, for reasons that I would need to figure out at some point, the local princess of the is going out on the town undercover to be like, oh, I want probably something along the lines of like, I want a night of freedom before, I don't know, I go to wizard princess boarding school or something like that.
Sure.
All out in this like tavern, when these like, yeah, these like ring wraithy things attack the tavern and like, oh shit, everything's going bad. The like blacksmith's daughter is able to, she knows the town well, she's like trying to help get people to safety and manages to get the witch and the princess, who no one knows is the princess, to safety in some like back to her forge or her father's forge or whatever. And that the three of them are all together. They start talking. They're like, what the fuck was that? Who knows what's going on? And they start to realize that like, oh, one of you is a witch. And in this world, magic is a very, because that's what I talked about earlier, very scary, very weird, very elemental, very like uncontrollable, spooky thing. My thought is probably in this world, because of that, it's more like relegated to the outside. And maybe there's an element of like, oh, polite society shuns magic and magic users. And it's like not the thing to do. Maybe it's even like regulated or deemed illegal. Who knows? And then also realize like, oh shit, also one of you is the princess. But they realize that these ring wraithy things are like, I haven't fully figured it out yet. So it's a little bit half baked, but there's some sort of thing that like, they're trying to feed on magic or doing some sort of thing to like grow their power or whatever. The witch reveals that once finding out that it's a princess, oh, it has something to do with like this MacGuffin powerful magical artifact that's within the castle that her father controls and blah, blah, blah. Much conversing, much trying to like, get people on the same page. Eventually it turns into not full on like Ocean's 11, but the basic premise of the rest of the thing is now it's a heist thing where it's like, oh, because of this like weird magical MacGuffin that is like hunting down magic users that the king is involved in and blah, blah, blah. The witch needs the help of the princess in order to break in and like steal or destroy this magical artifact, to save her family and all of like magic user kind. And the princess is like, no, my dad's good, whatever. But then like slowly over the course of the thing, she discovers, hey, politics is more messy than I thought it was. And maybe the good guys aren't always the good guys. And if I'm going to be a ruler, what will that mean for how to like eventually rule a kingdom in a way that is more just and equitable? And the blacksmith's daughter like just loves swashbuckling stories, totally just wants to be a hero, getting in. And it's like, yes, I can help out. I can be your like Indiana Jones, sword wielding, whatever. And then the rest of the story becomes the three of them. It will then borrow a lot of like heist tropes of like they have to actually plot out the thing and there's a bunch of assorted side quests that will be necessary that I haven't figured out yet, to eventually like steal the thing. Certainly the princess will have to have some sort of big confrontation with her father, and decide to defeat him or disown him or something like that. And certainly the blacksmith who wants to be a hero will learn that like, oh shit, there's more to being a hero than just what you read in fantasy, you know, swashbuckling pulp tales. And the witch like wants to save her family and will have to learn to control her powers or learn to do something like that. And then, yeah, Ocean's 11 happens in a fantasy kingdom, and it's great.
It's called Magical 11. No, that's me.
Magic's 11. But yeah, so the broad strokes are there. Tons of the details are super missing. But yeah, that's the general broad strokes. Heist, multiple different protagonists. One witch super in touch with the mysterious magical natural world, one princess super in touch with the political world, but also out of touch with the rest of the real world, one blacksmith's daughter that is in touch with the real world but has these fantasies about what you know, what the other two are like and what being a hero is like, and then they all learn something as they do an Ocean's 11.
I love that fantasy heist.
Yeah.
That's a cool, like, I mean, that's something that I feel like, you know, fantasy obviously doesn't have. Well, that's not true. There's like thieves kind of, you know, going and stealing stuff, but it's not the same as like a modern day heist kind of scenario, right?
Yeah. And I will say a big part of the inspiration was thinking about, I think it's a little more common in like Dungeons and Dragons and role playing game type things. Part of what I got me thinking about it is I think there was a campaign on a podcast that I used to listen to called Friends at the Table, where like that was explicitly what part of it was like, oh, this crew of thieves has to like plan a heist and break into a thing. And there's elements of the Adventure Zone that are not full on heists like that, but like,
yeah,
I think that's I could see that being a really fun thing to play in a game, that like, oh shit, we get to plan a heist. Oh shit, we get to execute one and deal with like sneaking around and deal with all the fun Ocean's 11-y shit. But not being someone who reads a ton of fantasy or watches a ton of fantasy, didn't seem like something that's more in like the as common of a subgenre or genre mix-up, I guess.
I definitely like the concept of like a, not the facade of fantasy, but like, when I just hear the phrase like fantasy heist, it's like,
yeah,
it's like the heist in that case, my mind takes precedence.
Okay.
Like this is, would you consider this being like a heist movie first?
Yeah. I think if you were doing a movie version of it, it would probably primarily, or like the structure would primarily be the structure of a heist movie of like, get the crew together. Everyone has their own secret agendas for why they're wanting to do it. Those secret agendas. Oh yeah. Certainly at some point there would be a like, hey, they fight amongst themselves and one of them might betray the other or think about betraying the others and blah, blah, blah. Which the reason why I'm thinking like, oh yeah, sure, certainly that would happen is because I'm mostly taking the structure of heist and transplanting it into a fantasy setting. If it was a book, I'm not as 100% sure by virtue of the fact that like, I don't know what the structure of a heist book is, and there's more room and more time to like explore other stuff. So I don't know. But yeah, that's a good point. I guess fantasy as more of a setting than fantasy as a story type.
Well, I just want to see like that scene, you know, in Ocean's 11, where they're describing what the heist is going to be, and then they have all the actions except fantasy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the other thing is like, again, I don't know what any of it would look like, but like using magic in a heist would be really
also
cool. And I'm like, oh, what would
horribly wrong.
Exactly. And it probably should, because that would also be really fun. Especially in this world of like magic is a weird, mysterious, hard to control thing.
They start the heist, and then like halfway through the movie or whenever they start the heist, at the point when it goes wrong is like halfway through the movie, and the witch accidentally like creates a demon summoning portal or something, or intentionally creates that. And then the rest of the movie is apocalypse style, turns into a horror movie. Bam.
Okay. There you go. Boom. We got it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So what was fun or difficult about, well, what was fun and what was difficult about writing a fantasy?
Yeah. I mean, the difficult part was just like, fuck, I got to come up with a story. there was a good chunk of last week where the whiteboard was mostly just said, do a fantasy story. But yeah, I think it was a fun exercise to put the constraint on of like, you have to do it within this genre. And I think what ended up working, at least in terms of getting something within the end of the week, that I was kind of excited about, was going from what do I normally dislike about like standard bad examples of fantasy, then using that as inspiration into more constraints to figure out what the rest would be. So like, I have a dislikes column that said, I don't like magic as whimsical. Okay. So that immediately turns into, okay, never mind. Magic is going to be scary and dangerous. Cool. I don't love like guy focused wish fulfillment chosen one things. So I was like, okay, let's do multiple female protagonists. Let's do, you know, chosen one, but more about like, you're the princess, but it turns out being a princess is actually more complicated than you thought it was, that sort of stuff. And then just coming out. Once it was like, oh, I could do a heist, then it, the floodgates sort of opened of like, okay, now it could be really fun.
Yeah, I feel like you've, that was definitely for me, I definitely like found the things I was interested in, added those elements in, and that made the writing the rest of it easier.
Yeah, for sure.
It kind of felt like cheating, but you know.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. I think by the end of it, I came to something that I am interested in exploring, though full disclosure, maybe not at the expense of like other story ideas and stuff that I'm working on and floating around. I don't think this is going to be the new thing that I spend my effort on, but I'll keep it in the back burner. And at the very least, it was an interesting exercise to like, cool, you have to try something different. You have to break out of your normal genres. You have to come up with something in a week, which is different from usually when I'm writing. It's more, I'll keep a running list of ideas, and then when an idea comes, I'll be like, oh, that's cool, let's try something.
Interesting.
But there's no time pressure because it's like, I'm not a professional writer. No one gives a shit about anything I do. So it's, I can take the more lackadaisical, like, I'll come up with an idea when I come up with an idea, versus, shit, I have to come up with an idea in a week.
Mine was definitely like, I had a spare hour and a half, like, awkward period of time that I had nothing to do, and I banged it out right there.
Hell yeah.
And it works.
You got stories inside you.
I do, yeah. Down. Maybe that's the thing, is I haven't put any of my stories down, so I'm full to the brim.
Hell yeah. That's good. That's a good place to be.
Oh, if I got to actually do it, though.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think in terms of saying like fantasy as a genre, I still, you know, is it going to be the first thing that I go to in the future? Probably not. Is it going to, on either the consumption or the creation side? Nah, realistically, no. Is it something that like I am more interested now in thinking about like, hey, what was the fantasy stories that I liked? Maybe I should reread one of those books. Maybe I should see what are the ones that people are talking about that might be interesting. You know, keep more of an open mind to it in the future. Is it going to supplant sci-fi or horror? No, but like, is it something that like when a really good fantasy thing comes along, cool, maybe take a look at it in a way that I wouldn't have necessarily in the past.
How would you feel about using fantasy as like an element in your writing as opposed to like the focal point, you know? It's like having a taste of fantasy.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it would depend a lot on what I was doing. Part of it is that like specifically right now, I am more focused on like doing horror stuff, and the horror stuff that I'm more focused on is more in the vein of like slasher and less supernatural stuff in general. So I think at the moment, I don't think I would really include it, but for who knows which way the winds may blow on what other stuff I want to write in the future. And I think what it would be is I'd be thinking more carefully about like broadening the range of influences and be more open to, hey, here's this thing that's mulling around. Maybe I should take a look at some fantasy things and see if there's stuff that I can swipe from them in a way that I don't currently.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? How much more horror stuff? Or, well, I think for the big one for you right now is just like maybe start writing more and then
writing period.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that. And in terms of consumption, I do want to see some more horror movies, but that is also not like, definitely not going to supplant other things. And I want to see Get Out. That's definitely the next step for horror besides writing. Yeah. Well, I don't think I would start with writing horror, but yeah.
I'd also recommend, if you're interested in like reading some Stephen King books, a different mechanism for consuming scary stuff versus stuff that you're like just seeing, particularly because you've got some Stephen King impulses in your second story.
Apparently, cool. Yeah. Learn from.
But yeah. I think if I'm remembering correctly, like the inception of this whole idea of experimenting with telling stories in different genres was yours. Any takeaways from the experiment, from the experience?
Yeah, I think there's something really valuable to be to think about things that you don't really think about, especially when you're like creating something with it that, I don't know, it just kind of gives you a new perspective on what it is. It's like, for me, like, first off, writing was huge. And then just like thinking about the horror genre and like what makes it its own thing, was really cool and fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think I will say the thing that I enjoyed the most was actually more just talking about these, because that's something that I miss, is doing that sort of workshopping process. But yeah, and I really liked hearing very good horror story ideas from someone who is not very familiar with horror. And I think
great fantasy idea
that kind of helped me crystallize like, okay, these are the things that are common and are good within the, like, core to the horror genre, because someone who is not as steeped in it also surfaced those things, which was cool. Yeah. And then doing the activity myself, it was interesting. And I think more than anything, the valuable part was the challenge to come up with a story in a week. Especially just to like break my brain out of the cycles it's been in currently. Playing with fantasy in particular was interesting, but I think, yeah, that would be second to the just do something, and do something on a compressed time scale.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And yeah, who knows? Maybe, maybe we'll do more of these sorts of, come up with a story idea within some constraint, things in the future.
Yeah.
If this is fun, if you liked it, if you enjoyed us doing that, you can let us know and we can do more things like this.
Great, subscribe.
Yeah. You know, you all know what to do, but yeah, you can find us on the internet at theadub.club. That's theadub.club, where you can also find, an episode topics guide thing, where if you are new to the podcast and want to find particular episodes on a particular topic, go to that, click through, it'll list all the episodes, you can listen to those. If you only want to hear the Star Wars episodes or the episodes about like social media, you can do that there. You can also follow us on Twitter at the AW Club. That's theawclub. Or you can always email us, which no one has other than a couple spammers, at theawclub @gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. And I guess ostensibly you can do the whole thing where like you subscribe and you rate and blah blah blah. I mean, if you rate us, we'll certainly read it, because why not, and we'll probably have a conversation about that and maybe make fun of you on the air, and that'll be fun. But whatever, who cares, do what you want, live your life. And I think that is it, unless I'm forgetting anything.
I think that's all, man. A-Dub Club out.
A-Dub Club out. Interesting. Yeah, this is totally tangential, but a fun story. One, I think The Ring is 100% one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And I like the American version a little bit more than the Japanese version, but both the American and Japanese versions have two different personal stories to me that are super interestingly terrifying. For the Japanese version, I was watching it in a horror film class when I was a freshman in college, and it was the last movie we watched. Every Wednesday we would have like a screening in this creepy basement of the art library, and we'd always have our TA that would like set up the movie for us and watch it with us in this creepy art basement. That week she was sick, so she had another one of her grad student friends come over and set up the movie. Because he wasn't a TA for the class, he was like, I'm not going to sit around and watch a movie with a bunch of freshmen. I'll come back in a couple hours and pick up the DVD and whatever. So just 10 freshmen sitting alone at like 10 o'clock at night in the basement of the creepy art building, watching a very scary movie all about like, it's a haunted videotape that will kill you in seven days if you watch it. And halfway through the movie, right when the first time that Samara, the ring girl, like starts to look at the screen and like come for one of the characters, right at that moment the screen went to static and everyone in the room completely flipped out. It was one of the most terrifying things in the entire world, and we watched it and it's like, it just kept going static. We could hear the sound underneath. And finally, like after 2 minutes or so of us just like huddled in terror in this screening room, someone finally gets up and like gingerly presses pause on the thing and like restarts the DVD and like skips to the right spot. But we were all sitting there being like, our TA is not here. It's terrifying. It's late at night. This is a movie about like a staticky movie that kills people. Then when we told our teacher about it the next morning, the professor, she got this like gleeful smile on her face, being like, "Oh my gosh, I need to figure out how to do that on purpose for next year's class."
Yeah,
that's too good. Separate than the Ring story is that there's a cabin in the American version of the Ring. That cabin was the set they used for that cabin was at a summer camp that I used to go to, and my parents worked at, my grandparents worked at, everyone on my dad's side of the family has worked at some point. I've stayed overnight in that cabin before it got demolished in like 2006 or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were watching it. And then like, after I told my dad that I saw the Ring, he was like, "Oh yeah, didn't you know they filmed that at the cabin that you used to spend the night at, when you were a little kid?"
Wow.
Anyway, those are both tangential. Maybe I'll cut them out or maybe put them at the end of the episode. Maybe. But, anyway, spoiler or not spoiler, the TLDR, the Ring is great. And, I have personal connections with both of them.